Jacob, everybody from Baton Rouge talking about that this could be the year for LSU. When you look at this Tigers team on paper, you know, what are your thoughts?
On paper, they look great. And look, last year was such a weird year because the expectation level was so low for LSU. I mean, you're talking 7-8 wins, and that's just not the norm at LSU, right? And they were breaking in so many players on the offensive side of the football. You kind of knew, you knew Foster Moreau was going to be the tight end, and you knew that, you know, one of the offensive guards was going to be in place. And outside of that, it's like you didn't know who the running back was going to be, the quarterback, the receivers, the tackles. I mean, it was all over the place, right? And then they end up having this, you know, kind of magical run, right? And all the wins that they had, and they get to a Fiesta Bowl. And look, regardless of what you think about Central Florida, they hadn't lost in 2 years to that point. LSU was able to beat them really when they were down about 9 defensive bodies. And so that was a big win for them to get to a New Year's Six bowl game. It had been a long time since they kind of been in that kind of matchup. And so, you know, when you have a season like that and then everybody's coming back. And, look, I realize you lose Devin White, who was maybe the best player in this conference last year, and Greedy Williams as well. You can't just replace those guys, but you've got a lot of guys coming back who are going to be strong candidates to do so. And so Joe Burrow coming back is probably the most important thing, right? It's been a long time since LSU's had a quarterback that the fan base is excited about coming back in year two. And so they're expecting a lot of things. And, look, this is a year. Look, you've got a lot of veteran players coming back. You've got all of your offense coming back outside of Nick Brossette, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire played a lot. So the expectation level is going to be extremely high, and it should be. Like, LSU should be New Year's Six bowl game at the minimum. College football playoff should be something that they aspire to get to every year.
You know what it's like and what it takes to win a national championship. You were able to do that when you were a player for LSU. When you look at LSU for 2019, do you see similar things to your former squad?
Yeah, so look, in 07, it's kind of funny. Everybody just assumes when you win a national championship that you were stacked and you had all these guys. And we were a unique football team. Look, I was a starting tailback. I was a fullback for 2 years when I got to LSU. Our quarterback, Matt Flynn, had to wait 5 years before he played. Our offensive line, not one of them played a snap in the NFL. Right, you had some practice squad guys, but that's a little different. Our tight ends never played in the NFL. You know, and our receivers played a little bit. JoJo LaFell, Brandon LaFell's still in the NFL, but we didn't have all these superstars, but we had the right chemistry. We had the right mix. We had the right type of guys, and this team has that feel. So more than who they have coming back, where they recruited coming out of high school, I think it's about the chemistry that this team has. You had some guys decide to come back for their senior year, and Rashard Lawrence and Fajoko on the defensive side of the ball. Joe Burrow obviously comes back, and so I think the chemistry of this team is probably not talked about enough, because to win a national championship, you have to have that. You have to stay healthy, obviously, and you have to be able to win the close games. And so far, this team looks like it's built to do that.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the close games, because, you know, I talk about great teams, the difference between a great team and a championship team, probably a handful of plays. Same thing can be said about being an average team or being a below average team. Usually the way you meet your expectations during the course of a year, it really comes down to a handful of plays depending on what you're trying to get to.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams in SEC history that could say this play, that play, or the other play, we're going to win, right? Look, to this day, and I kid you not, if Texas A&M was here today and I saw Jimbo Fisher, within 3 minutes he would talk about the game at Auburn in 2006. He would talk about the three plays in that game, why we didn't win that game, because we won the Sugar Bowl that year against Notre Dame, maybe the best football team I ever played on, and we didn't get to a national championship because of that loss. I guarantee you, if he sees me every time within 3 minutes we talk about that game, those games stick with you. But every team in the SEC, every good team, I'm sure Florida a year ago could point to those games. LSU a year ago could point to the game at Florida when Felipe Franks had to go the length of the field to beat him. Well, he does that, and all of a sudden, you're not in a college football playoff scenario. And so there's so many great teams in the SEC that are literally like 3, 4, 5 plays away from being national championship type of teams, but it happens every single year. It will always continue to happen. I mean, look, Georgia fans could – I mean, the last 2 years, I mean, look how many plays they could point at and say, if this play goes our way, we're in the national championship.
When it comes to the Nick Saban effect, I look at LSU, I look at Auburn, even now the Georgia Bulldogs, meaning there's a cloud. It's like, well – you know, Alabama's doing all this, why not us? Certainly, I think it impacts the fan base with the LSU Tigers, first and foremost, and then down on the plains with the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, look, obviously there's going to be that natural rivalry between LSU and Alabama, even if Nick Saban wasn't the coach, but that added a layer to it. Obviously, him being a national championship coach at LSU. And look, they're the standard right now. They are the standard. LSU hasn't been able to beat them since 2011. They've beaten everybody else, right? And you see them beat a team like Georgia last year and really beat up on them and have that success. It's like, okay, well, why can't we get past that Alabama team? You see them go to Florida, beat really good Florida teams. And so whatever that mental hurdle is, whatever it is, because, like, Alabama's lost games in that time period to other teams that LSU's beaten.
Right.
So why can't LSU beat that team? And that's something mentally that they have to get over. And it's something that if you want to say it or don't want to say it, we all know it's there. And so, you know, all the coach talk, we circle one game at a time. Now, that wouldn't be me. I'd be like, this is a standard. This is what we have to get to. This is the game we have to win. Do we have to win every game leading up to that? Absolutely. But we've done it before. It's this game that we have to win. And, look, they're set up to do it this year, but it's in Tuscaloosa. It's going to be extremely hard to do. Alabama's set up to win every single year as well. And I like that that matchup's not the primetime game. I'm glad that because, that, look, that built so much hype around that game and obviously hadn't played in LSU's favor. And so, you know, hopefully this year will be a little bit different, but I'm sure Alabama fans will say, hey, wait a second.
So for LSU fans listening, when they heard what you just said, they'll go, well, in 2011 we went to Tuscaloosa, won in overtime. So as long as LSU doesn't have to play Alabama twice, then you might be okay this time around.
Look, playing 6 years in the NFL, I know how difficult it is to beat a team twice. Even if you're a really good team, the Oakland Raiders are terrible, it's tough to beat them twice. It's just that's the way it is. And as soon as that game got, you know, announced, I was like, it's going to be trouble. It's tough to beat a good football team, any football team, twice. And dang Oklahoma State. If they could have just won that game against, I believe it was Iowa State back in that year, you'd have been playing Oklahoma State, and, you know, LSU would probably have three national championships since 2003.
Visiting once again with Jacob Hester, you know, when you think about the LSU experience, you know, there's a lot of fan bases, a lot of schools want to brag about what it's like at their particular
right.
program. Look, I'm not even an LSU fan, but, you know, hats off to the LSU fan base, the experience, the tailgate tradition. For those that have never had a chance to experience that, first of all, what was it like wearing the LSU uniform, but also that entire experience on any particular game day?
Well, they can't be beat, in my opinion, and the SEC does such a great job. I mean, there's four or five places that when you walk into them, you know this is a real-time atmosphere. And, look, obviously I'm partial to LSU, and we all kind of know night games in Death Valley, and the fans get sauced up all day long tailgating, and the food's unique, and it's so good, and everybody takes it to another level. And so I love the atmosphere at LSU. In my opinion, it will just never be beat. But there's other places in this conference. Mississippi State. Look,
right.
when I played at Mississippi State in 2004 through 2007, whatever those years were that we played there, it wasn't a great experience. Right? They had bleachers in the end zone that they looked like they rented right before the game and added them there, and it wasn't a great experience. You go back to Mississippi State now, it's one of my favorite places in the league to go. The fans are outstanding. They're all in sync. They know when to do the cowbell. They know when not to do the cowbell. Whoever's picking the music, he's doing a great job as well. The atmosphere at Mississippi State has grown so much, and you see that around the conference. We know that Death Valley is going to be one of the top ones. We know the Swamp's going to be one of the top ones. Jordan Hare is going to be one of the top ones. But I think it's these other schools that are really buying into it, right? You go across the conference and all these other – you go to Arkansas. Look, Arkansas
– right.
Arkansas, I forget what year it was, maybe 2014. They had not won a conference game under Brett Bielema. But, you know, I'll be darned if that thing wasn't sold out and as loud the entire game. And they end up beating LSU 17-0 that day, get their first SEC win. They storm the field. That's a winless team, and they're outstanding. And so the SEC has really went above and beyond, you know, just the normal powerhouse programs.
Everybody assumes Alabama in the West, Georgia in the East, but just because you say it doesn't mean it's
right.
true. In the West, I have LSU, Texas A&M, and Auburn all with that opportunity. And on the East, I have not only Florida, but even Missouri can be a dark horse. How do you see it?
So in the West, look, obviously when you look at Alabama and you look at their schedule compared to other teams, I think that the other teams have to go through a fight to get to Alabama. Auburn's schedule's brutal. I mean, Oregon and at A&M in the first four games,
right.
breaking in a new quarterback, that's going to be tough. And we all know kind of the heat on Gus Malzahn, fair or unfair. I think it's unfair, but the heat's there. And you look at Texas A&M. I mean, they've got to go to Clemson, to LSU, and to Georgia this year alone. So that schedule's brutal. And LSU's got Texas on the road. I mean, so they've got some tough games to get there. But those three teams can compete with Alabama. It's going to be tough for Alabama to go through all three of those teams unscathed. They've done it before. But those three teams are really, really good this year, in my opinion. When you look at the East, I like Mizzou. I like Mizzou. I was on the Kentucky bandwagon a year ago. I thought they were going to have a special season. They end up living up to it. I don't think they far as far as people think they're going to, because I really like their schedule. But Mizzou's schedule really sets up nicely. I think they're undefeated when they play Georgia in week 8. Now, can they get over the Georgia Bulldogs? I'm not there yet. But, look, if they get their bowl ban lifted, they're a team that can get in a New Year's Six bowl conversation, in my opinion.
You know, Jacob, when you talk about teams with that potential, you know, for me, it's just like last year with Kentucky. You know, everybody's optimistic for the upcoming season when they're here representing their schools. But for me, it's about what the teammates feel and what type of emotions they get from that player, that leader. And I remember visiting with Benny Snell Jr. last year, and I could certainly – and that's why I predicted. As soon as he left, I said that finally Kentucky's going to beat Florida on the road, and they pulled that off. So this year is one of these things where I like to prepare for this week, but I don't want to have all the answers. I want that to be shown to me as the week progresses.
I'm glad you said that, because last year I traveled with LSU to Media Days, and Kentucky was there the same day. And just seeing Mark Stoops and the way and the look he had on his face walking in the hallway.
Angry.
I'm like, this guy means business. I mean, this guy's here for a job. Don't talk bad about his program, because he's ready to brawl if you do. And to your point, I was the same way. It's like, I don't know what they got going on at Kentucky, but it's good. And the players kind of had that same attitude. And talent takes you a long way. There was 1,000 guys more talented than me when I played football, but just the way I was raised, it was a lot more than that. It was about heart. It was about determination. It was about not being denied. All those cliches that sound cheesy, but Tim Tebow was the best player to ever play in our conference. He wasn't the most talented guy, but I'll be damned if you were going to stop him on 4th-and-1. That's just the kind of mentality that Tim Tebow had, and Kentucky had that last year. And I see a little bit of that in some of Mizzou's defensive players. We know what they got on offense with Derek Dooley and all the weapons they have there. Roundtree's a great running back. Some of their defensive players, Garrett, when you see that guy walking around, he's got that look on his face like they're ready to win 10 games.
Before we let you go, Jacob, remind everybody what's going to be happening for you as far as not only on a day-to-day basis, but as where they can catch you during the college football season as well.
Yeah, so a little bit all over the place, which is the way we like to do it in this business. I'm on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge daily from 1 to 3 Central Time. I'm on SiriusXM SEC this morning about 15 times a month. We have a rotating me, Peter Burns, Chris Doran, Cole Kubel. We kind of rotate there. So 6 to 9 Central Time on 374. Cox Sports TV, LSU Football Twitter, do videos for them as well. So hey, the more you can do, the more jobs you can pick up, the better.
Hey, we appreciate you taking time out with us.
No, absolutely. I appreciate y'all.